Live, Love, Lead, which, as Suba and Yesen mentioned, was Pastor Rojas' sermon, and it was our theme throughout Camperee, and it's the theme of this year. And as I sat and I listened to everything we learned, everything we read, I thought about a student recently, week of prayer actually recently at Pacific Union College. There's a young man who worked for Columbia Pictures. And he said since he was a young man, he had felt called into going into Hollywood and being a light in that presence, in that midst. And he had several people tell him, no, if you're a Christian and you're Adventist, you have a list of what you could do. You could be a nurse, you could be a doctor, you could be a teacher, you could be a pastor. Hollywood is not in the cards. And this young man felt convicted from a very young age that what he needed to do was to be salt and to be light and to be a presence. And so he shared the story on a recent Friday night with a group of PUC students that as one of the executives at Columbia Pictures, he's actually had a big influence on people around him, had a lot of opportunity to share the gospel. One of the things he talked about was he was on set in a certain part in the Far East, working on a film called The Karate Kid. And it was a particular Friday. And as the sun was going down, he let the people know around him. There was a little bit, he admitted, a little part of him that said, it's just a few minutes. The sun's going down. What's the big deal? We're just filming. It's a positive film. But he knew that he had set a date with God, that Sabbath was his date with God. And here he was leading a shoot. There was tons of extras. There was tons of actors and actresses, tons of people ready. They were ready to go a few more hours. He didn't realize it was going to take as long as it had. Some people had shown up late. And now it was sundown there in the Far East. And it wasn't even a voice from God. It was his own voice that just said, you know, this isn't about what God wants me to do right now. This is about what I want to do for God, my best friend. And I've set a date with God, and I'm going to keep it. And so he went and he told the person who was head, the director, he said, I'm sorry, I have to step away from the shoot. And the director said, if you step away, we're going to have to shut down the entire production. And he said, well, we can come back and do it again on Sunday, the young man said. He said, but I have a date with God and I have to honor that and I have to keep it. And so they shut down the entire production of The Karate Kid, the recent Karate Kid movie. And he was surprised that one of the other people in Hollywood came forward and said, can I go on this date with you? Because he talked about church on Sabbath morning. He said, can I go on this date with you tomorrow morning? Can I go to church with you tomorrow morning? And he said, absolutely. And so there he was, and he sat. And he sat in church, and this person next to him heard the gospel and heard the good news about Sabbath and heard the good news that God wants to spend time with us and heard the Advent message that Jesus Christ is coming soon to prove how much time he wants to spend with us. He wants to spend eternity. And this young man thought, number one, had he just listened to all the naysayers around him who said, listen, if you're called, you can only do certain things, and here is the list of things. If he'd listened to them, he would have not been able to have the impact he had. And then if he had listened to his voice on that Friday of convenience, that you know what, I just need to go ahead and not offend anybody and keep my mouth shut and keep this thing with God private, he thought he would not be sitting next to this new brother next to him in church on Sabbath morning. Love, live, and lead. We've read texts today about salt. We've read texts today about light. What about fruit? Because you see, without being planted right, without cultivating the soil of our own souls in terms of being present there for God and spending time with him in his word and on his special day for us, how truly fruitful will we be? How much salt will we have to share with the world? How much light will we have to share with the world? So turn with me, if you will, to Galatians chapter 5. We're going to read a passage there. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 through 26. Galatians chapter 5 talks about freedom in Christ. And then Paul gives some encouragement and he also gives some boundaries. And just so you know, brothers and sisters, in Christ and those that are visiting, if Paul is talking about it, If Paul is saying there's an issue here that we need to talk about, he's not condemning the people, he's guiding them, and he's saying there is still a chance. So he's talking about a group of believers here that is far from perfect, and he's offering them guidance, and he's offering the love of God. And it says here, life by the Spirit. So I say in verse 26, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But, verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. Now the reality is, every single person falls into the category of one of these negative aspects that he talks about. Everybody here today, including the pastoral staff of Paradise Valley Church. We all fall into at least one of these categories, and if you just said, except for me, no, I did not, you just fell into the category of dishonesty and lying and all of that. All of us fall into these categories. And there are times when I hear talk about the superheroes of the Bible. The reality is, when I really look through the scriptures, when I really read them and I really listen, I truly find about one superhero of the Bible, and that is Jesus Christ. If you look throughout the stories of the Bible, you see people coming short, falling short of the glory of God. You read in the New Testament, even Paul, who gives admonishment, he had dissensions sometimes so sharp that he and his fellow Christian brother had to go in two different ways. Now, God wound up blessing both of them, each on their own paths, but they had a dispute so sharp, they had to part ways. But there is one in Scripture that emerges as the superhero of the Bible, and that is Jesus Christ. And what Paul here, he says in 1 Corinthians, follow me as I follow Christ. And what he's saying here is the reason why the fruit of the Spirit is all of these things is because all of these good things, when he talks about peace, joy, love, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, when he says the fruit of the Spirit is this, it is because God is all of these things. God is all of these attributes. Now, I don't know about you, but I have a tendency, and we in our Western society have a tendency to, we want to hear the steps. I look at love and peace and joy, and I look at all that, and I want to know, what steps do I take to get there? What 7-point plan do I take to get there? What 5-point plan, 12-point plan? Just give me a book and point me in the direction of what I can do to cultivate this. And I look at sometimes at lists like this that Paul gives, and I say, you know, I don't see enough of the fruit of the Spirit in my life that I would like to have. And I see some of these other things on the other list that a Christian should not have. And so what do we do with ourselves? So often with ourselves, what do? We yell at ourselves. We say, I need to snap out of this. I need to do this different. And let me just tell you from personal experience, because I've tried, saying, Darren, you need to be more patient. Doesn't work. Believe it or not, that does not work. But what Paul gives us a picture of here is fruit. And what is the secret of fruit? The secret of fruit is cultivating the soil. And as a Christian, to cultivate the soil, what we truly need is the gift that we receive today. We need time with God. How many of here have been through our kids and discipleship program in the past? Parents and kids. How many? What did we used to call it when you would take some time alone and just read the Bible and be quiet? What would we call that? Tag time. Tag time. Time alone with God. All right, it's a little redundant. Time alone with God. Time. But I love it because it starts and it ends with time. See, parents, the reality is, when you talk about what your kids want, you know, you want to show your kids love. The reality is, kids spell love T-I-M-E. And in reality, when we are all seen as children of God, then what we want on our deepest core is time with God. But there can be so many other distractions. That's why I loved about going up to Camp Ree. And to be honest with you, even with the storm and other things, you know, that came, I love the fact that so many people's cell phones did not work. So many people's video games did not work, you know. Part of it was a problem when the rain came down, but part of it was a blessing because what I saw you guys doing is just reading your Bibles, playing together, hanging out, having conversation. Some of you found sticks and were playing with sticks all day. I mean, stuff that I did as a kid, stuff that your parents did as a kid, and stuff that today in this day and age with all the technology and all the distractions, we just don't seem to do. But the reality is, tag time, what we've been teaching here at this church for years, if we don't unplug sometimes, if we don't step away sometimes and say, you know what, this time is my time with God, we are never going to cultivate that soil. Now, I want you to do a favor for me. Pathfinders, I want you to close your eyes real quick, okay? All the Pathfinders, I want you to close your eyes. Now, everybody else in the church, close your eyes. I want you to picture your best friend in this world. In this planet, another human being, I want you to close your eyes and picture your best friend. Some of you are say, oh, I'm sitting next to my friend. I'm not going to close my eyes, but I want you to close your eyes anyway. Picture your best friend, okay? Now open your eyes, okay? Is there a reason why you want to spend time with that best friend? Is there a reason why they stick out in your head? Isn't that best friend somebody that you can come to with any problem, any stress, anything you can't tell anybody else? Isn't there something about that best friend that you just know when you go to them, it's going to stay with that person? That when you go to them, they're not going to judge you? That they're going to love you no matter what? I want you to close your eyes again, Pathfinders, and everybody in the church, okay? Right? I want you to picture Jesus. Picture Jesus. Now I'm going to read these words again. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Open your eye. Jesus Christ is all of those things. So if you and I want more of those things, we're not going to get it with a 7-point plan. We're not going to get it by yelling at ourselves. We're going to get it by unplugging, stepping away, and spending quiet time, tag time with God. And that's not just an invitation to Pathfinders. That's an invitation for everybody in this church. You see, Paul says something very interesting. He says something here in verse 17. He said, the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit is what contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other so that you do not do what you want. So in other words, what Paul is saying, as a Christian, there is a desire that God gives you. And the desire that God gives you is to become more and more like Christ. So if that's not happening for you, if that's not happening for me, we need to step back and say, you know, Christ has put something in me and done something in me that is going to lead me this way. If I'm going somewhere else, am I being distracted? Am I not spending enough time alone with God? And so the real challenge that Paul is giving to us here is not to try harder, not to give a better effort. What he's saying is stay aware of who God is. Stay aware and stay awake. Years ago, when I was a young boy, there was a train that used to go right through La Mesa and Lemon Grove. And I used to love to go out and not just walk those train tracks, but sometimes I would jog those train tracks. My stepdad was a drill instructor of the United States Marine Corps, and fortunately, I could keep up with him a little bit for a little while. And we'd go on these train tracks, and we'd run, and we'd run, and we'd run, and right about mile 2.5, I would say, all right, I'm not going to be able to go the full 5 miles, and I would stop. But there were these train tracks here, and I never forget. I used to go on those train tracks. I used to love them, and just had all kinds of memories on those train tracks and that run or walk that I would take on those. And in fact, when Drew and I had been called to Redlands for a little while, there was a set of old train tracks that no train ever rode on them ever again. And I would just take long walks out on those train tracks. And I've talked about that here at church before. But when we got called back to San Diego, I found this little home in La Mesa, and the kids have come over for Vespers, and young adults have come over for Vespers at some point. And right next to our home there is a set of tracks still. And so I took a long walk, and I went down, and there was a Henry's, now a Sprouts store, and I went up, and I was looking at all this stuff that just brought back so many memories. Because you see, the reality was, I was now living, I won't say my age, but at the same place that I was living when I was about 11 years old, about the same area. And I walked up to a location, and lo and behold, there were those train tracks. And I was just so taken by all the memories, and I lost my focus, and I just said, wow, I was like a little kid reaching for a hot stove. I said, I want to go to the train tracks. And so I walked up, there's this dirt mountain, and I walked up this dirt, I mean, this is last year, this wasn't when I was a kid, okay? And I'm walking up this dirt mountain, I go, and there's these train tracks, and I'm on them, and I'm like, wow, I remember these. And I said, well, I don't know if these train tracks are, you know, how safe it is. I'm going to stay far to the left. So I stayed far to the left, but I just wanted to walk it. I just wanted to walk it. And I walked and I walked and had all these memories come by in my head. And I thought this was just a wonderful time. I was just thinking back to all those memories I had as a kid. And then something drove by. And I thought, no big deal. I said, I'm way over here in the dirt. I mean, I was over here. Here was the dirt. And the tracks were way over here. I thought, I'm good. But I thought there might be a problem when that trolley slowed down to about 2 miles an hour, and the guy on the bullhorn, usually, you know, says Center City coming up next or whatever, he's yelling at me. I can't even understand what he's saying. He's yelling at me. And I'm like, oh boy, I think I'm in trouble. And he slowed way down, and he went, and he looked at me, and he said something. I couldn't understand him, and I just lifted my hand. I said, okay, and he went. I got the message that I needed to get away from there, okay? And I looked, and I had walked so far that there was nothing but a wall on one side filled with graffiti, and on the other side, just a bunch of rocks. I'm like, what am I going to do? And so I started walking back to Spring Street trolley station. I had a long ways to go. And then just when I thought I might be in trouble, things got worse as I saw a security officer walking up the side of the tracks, and he had his hand reaching for his baton. And I said, oh, boy. And he was walking towards me, and I put up my hands to make sure, hey, there's nothing here, there's nothing here. And in my mind, I just kept thinking, don't tase me, bro, don't tase me, bro. And I'm just walking up. I mean, we were going a long way. You know, it was like slow motion. Here he comes, hand on baton. Here I am with my hands up, you know, just walking, walking, walking. And I came up to him, and I said, I'm not trying to cause any trouble. I'm a local pastor. And my brother said, you pulled the pastor card? I said, listen. I said, I didn't pull the pastor card to get off the hook. I pulled the pastor card because I wanted him to know I wasn't going to hurt him, okay? And my brother said, yeah, right. Anyways, I said, listen, I'm a local pastor. I said, this is my first day in a new house. I don't even know where I'm at. I'm so sorry. I said, I'm out of here. And he walked alongside me. He says, I have to. He says, a lot of people watching back there. He said, I have to act really angry with you right now. He said, I'm going to keep my hand on my baton. I'm going to really let you have it. He says, do you realize what the fine is for walking on these? I said, I have no idea. He said, it could range from $5,000 to $10,000. And I said, when I was 11, I used to walk these tracks. I thought it was a wonderful story. He really didn't seem interested. But I went on and on about all the memories I had when I was 11, And he just kept saying to me, he said, you know, he said, I totally understand. He's like, but I can't look happy right now because all those people are going to want to go on the tracks if I'm easy on you. So I'm just going to keep my hand on my baton. So he walked all the way back, and he was so cool. He's like, well, let it slide this time. And I said, believe me, I said, the next time I get nostalgic, I'm busting out the photo album, all right? I'm not going to be walking on any trolley tracks nearby. I learned my lesson. But see, I thought about it this week that in Christianity we can often get caught up in a daze, in a fog. And we could think so much about how things used to be in our Christian walk. We can think about a time when we had given ourselves to Christ, we had really close with God, and we could just keep trying to go on the fumes of that experience. But the reality is, many of us who have come into the church or come to Christ, most of us have had that point of decision where we came to Christ and we had that feeling of that first love. The reality is, it's not just that it was the first time. It was that we were taking plenty of time to spend with God. And see, the youth up here were talking, and one of them said something that stuck with me. I think sometimes once we get in the church, we turn Christianity and we turn following into Christ into an it. We turn it into a list. And Pathfinders, you're going to get some awards today. You're going to get some patches today. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be fun. But don't ever substitute the patches and the trophy as the thing. When you get to Master Guide, that doesn't mean you have it all figured out. That doesn't mean you could just kind of hang it up and walk in your own power, because you're a Master Guide. You got it all figured out. And you got your Bible patch. You got your knot tying patch. You got all that. Because the reality is, Christianity is not an it. It's a him. It is a him. It is Jesus Christ. And to love properly, to live properly, to lead properly, to be salt, to be light, to be something that is magnetic to other people, we have to be about him, not about an it. And when you look through the Ten Commandments, you see a reflection of Christ's character. When you spend time with Christ, there is something in us that says, okay, as Paul was talking about in Galatians, sexual immorality, false pleasure, false freedom, idolatry, false worship, hatred and discord that Paul mentions, false distractions, jealousy, envy that he mentions. It's a false admiration. It's not the real thing. Fits of rage, selfish ambition. It is false zeal or zest. Dissensions and factions. That is a false community. And I just want to say this. I'm seeing more and more on the internet what I call e-gossip. Groups of people coming together. Have you heard what they're doing in Washington? Have you heard what they're doing in Loma Linda? Have you heard what... building community. Look, you know, what's going on? What's happening? Have you heard this conspiracy? Have you heard that conspiracy? That is not community. That is false community. And e-gossip is still gossip. And gossip is still a sin. And what we are looking for is authentic community. There are times when we need to pull each other over and say, you know, there's something I want to discuss with you. There are times for that. The internet is not going to solve anything. There is no dealing with the individual. And so Paul talks here about these dissensions and factions as false community. And then finally he talks about drunkenness, false joy, and that's false peace. Only Jesus Christ can give the authentic thing. Only Jesus Christ can give the real thing. I have a friend who tried to plant a blueberry bush. And he said when he planted that blueberry bush outside of his house, he said, man, those first few breakfasts after that thing started to bloom, he said, oh, you know, he'd have grape nuts there in the morning and just put those blueberries on, or cornflakes, put blueberries on. He said they were the best things ever. He said, but something happened. He said, I just thought the blueberry bush would just keep growing, you know, just keep producing blueberries. And so he said, I came outside and I had a good breakfast for about a week. He said, but then after about a week, no more blueberries. And he said, I don't know what's going on. He said, I even sometimes tried to yell at the blueberry bush a little bit. Nothing would happen. And he said, a friend came to me and said, bro, you got to cultivate the soil. You planted it first, and yeah, you get your blueberries. It's excited. It's fresh. It's in the ground. It's going to give you blueberries. But then if you don't nurture it, if you don't take care of it, guess what? No blueberries on your cornflakes, man. And so he said he realized that he had to start taking care of that little plant. And as he started to take care of that little plant, started to nurture it, started to love it, stopped yelling at it, started to talk to it really nice, in a nice voice, guess what started to happen? Cornflakes with blueberries. And he said he thought about it in his own life, that complaining about how he's not growing, yelling at himself about the areas where he's not growing, none of that is going to do anything for him. Cultivating the soil, spending time with God, remembering that God is all these traits, and the more time he spends with God, not just here, but in our quiet time, what we mentioned earlier, tag time, time alone with God, that is where we're going to be able to come on Sabbath and say, guess what the Lord has been doing for me this week? Guess what areas where I was stuck for years and the Lord has finally delivered me from? God is going to be able to do great things when we spend that time with Him. Finally, I got a call this week from Pastor Wally. He says hello to everybody. And he had good news that he got two calls. One from a Chinese church of all places in Los Angeles. And another call from Fresno Spanish Church. And he just wanted to say thank you to Paradise Valley for the opportunity he had to serve here. And he looks like he's going to have a church where he can go for 2 years before they call him to Andrews. But we always talk and we always reminisce. And I can remember the time when he preached here and he was stuck. He was all the head knowledge. He was reading. He had the checklist. He had everything there and he was just stuck. And I said, Wally, I said, I could tell you're trying hard. I said, but what you need right now is you need some refreshment. I said, you look burned out, man. I said, you're too young to be burned out. And so I said, come with me, and gave him just a little bit of money. And I said, we're going to ride the trolley. We went right here, in fact, right to that station. And we got off. And I said, here's some money. I said, here's a text. I handed him a Bible text. I said, go spend 4 hours with God. Just go spend 4 hours with God by the water. And just see what God has to say, not to the congregation. Wally, what does God have to say to you in His Word? And he came back and he was like, Pastor Jerry and I, like 4 or 5 sermons come out at the end. And Wally realized that all the head knowledge, as he studied, all of that wasn't going to do anything until he took a date with God. He took some tag time with God. But I only knew to give that to Wally because when I first came here, Pastor, years ago, Pastor Will and Pastor Harry said, Darren, you got to come up to the mountain with us. And I went up and experienced this time where we just had God's word. And there were some books there, but we just had God's word in the mountain, essentially. And just take some quiet time with God. And not think about what list you have to do, your to-do list, but what God wants to say to you as His child. So Pathfinders, and those in attendance today, the call today is to remember this. That Christianity, loving, living, leading, is not about an it. It's not about a list. It's not about trophies. It's not about awards, as great as those things are, as fun as those things are. It's not about it. It's about Him, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Father God, we thank You for the gift of time. We thank You for the gift of Sabbath. And Lord, not just in this day, not just this 24-hour period, but the gift to know that we can show up here to Paradise Valley, that we could have lunch together, knowing that we are Your children, that we don't have to strive to be Your children, we don't have to try to be Your children, we are Your children. Lord, we would ask that today and throughout this week, we would cultivate the soil of our lives by unplugging from all the distractions, unplugging from all the drama, and just spending time with You. And Lord, I've had to confess this week that I have not allowed You to be the best friend to me that You want to be. And Lord, we as a church want to say, we want nothing more than to not just know that You love us, but to truly let You bless every area of our lives. To truly, when we close our eyes and think of our best friend, that we only see Your face. Lord, give us courage to carve out the time for You, for we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.